We're in the book of John today for the scripture, and we're kind of jumping in the middle of the story. So let me just give you a little bit of a backdrop here. Jesus had just fed the 5,000, and he saw that the people were trying to force him to be king, and so he needed to get away. And so he has slipped away on his own, and this is where we pick up the story. The sixth chapter of John, verses 24 through 35, the New Living Translation. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went across to Capernaum to look for him. They found him on the other side of the lake and asked, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that is the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval." They replied, "We want to perform God's works too. What should we do?" Jesus told them, "This is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent." They answered, "Show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do? After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. The scriptures say Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "give us that bread every day." Hallelujah. Jesus replied, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, sister. You know, I can imagine some of you this week will take a trip to a grocery store to get a loaf of bread. The shelf will be filled with choices. You can choose whichever bread you want. You will pay little attention to the price, not realizing the packaging that this bread is in costs more than the wheat that's in the loaf. All in all, you might think this is an uneventful trip, but you may be wrong. No, you will be wrong. Because I find it quite very difficult living in this country to understand the importance of bread until I turn on the TV and see what is happening in other parts of the world. When there is no staff, there is suffering and rationing. A simple loaf of bread, something that we take for granted, don't even have a second thought for. But in certain parts of the world, it means life itself. It is only as we comprehend that situation that we can truly begin to understand the importance of bread, not only now, but in the time of Jesus. Just think for a moment. How many of the significant theological stories in the Bible revolves around the subject of bread? The most famous one, of course, is the Exodus story. The story where, you can change the slides, the story where they're taken to the people from Egypt are going to forest land for food. The wheat crop you see there was due to drought. That's the first reason for that. That's the reason. Could you change the slide, please? Thank you. That's the reason why they actually went to the promised land for this trip in the first place, bread. Because where they were, there was a drought, there was a famine. So they went to Egypt where there was a surplus. It was bread, or lack of bread, that initiated this whole chain of event. And here we are in this week's gospel. John introduced the idea of bread of heaven. It is a metaphor that runs throughout the entire chapter 6, as my sister read to and kind of alluded from the beginning of the chapter. There's sorts of theological and eschatological dispute about this integrity of this chapter, but really, it's just about bread. There's no special diet in this first century. Everyone was simply scrambling around for food once or even twice a day for the tables of their family. Bread, leaven or unleavened, moldy or moldly, it didn't matter. Bread held the primacy of the place in the life of the people in those days. It was the primary intake for their calorie in the early days. Bread not only was a source of substance in the early community, but it was used as a metaphor to cooperate life and a meal as they share time together and live life together. Bread was and is still the building block of life. So it is not surprising for someone born in Bethlehem, the house of bread, we know that's what Bethlehem means, that Jesus used this metaphor to transpose his own being into a mission and destiny, into a yeasty moment. He made the simplicity of bread a symbol of something that can transform the lives of everyone, of all people. Jesus took what they knew. I always tell you, Jesus meets us where we are. He tells the story from where we are and what they're familiar with. Here this Jesus, who's born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. He's taking the metaphor, telling himself that I am the bread. He's transposing it to tell him about his mission and destiny. He takes something simple and make it into a yeast moment. He made it and declared that he himself is the bread from heaven. He himself is the bread of life. He himself is the bread of the world. And has made it possible for people to come together and live in community as he offered them a spiritual binder, a new kind of bread, a bread that could never be completely consumed, the bread of eternal life. The gospel story tells us when Jesus was pursued across the Sea of Galilee to the crowds he already fed. He recognized their eagerness was drawn to him, not because the message he just gave it, just because they got their belly full. They didn't understand the signs either, the miraculous signs that they just saw. He came, he knew their presence is not because of his message, but because I fed you. Not because you understood the signs. As usual, the people always asking for a sign. They want a miracle, and they get the miracle, and they see it, and they focus on that. They don't even understand what really happened. They didn't understand fully what happened when he took the bread, 5 loaves of bread, and multiplied it and feed thousands. The scripture said 5,000, but trust me, there's a lot more because they didn't count the men and the women and the children. But I like how the Message Bible puts it. It said, Jesus answered them, you're looking for me not because you saw God in action, but because I fed you, filled your stomach for free. Hallelujah. Isn't that what we want? We want free food all the time. We don't want to pay for it. God is giving us himself, the bread of life, but we don't want to. He sacrificed so much for it. He had paid the ransom for us, but we want everything free. We don't want to give anything up. Bella and I are reading this book called The Cost of Discipleship. There is a cost for following Jesus. There's a cost for this grace that God has given us. And the cost first came from the cross. But we too still have to pay some price. We too still have to give something up. We too have to cost us something, cost us ourselves, so Christ can raise in us. You hear what I'm talking about? Don't anybody know what I'm talking about tonight? It's a night already. Thank you, Jesus. But Jesus was very blunt. Because when Jesus had to remind his questioners that it was not Moses that gave them the bread. The bread came from God who had sent them. And now the bread has come down again from a divine means. Now the bread of life, once again, comes to them. And he was very blunt when he answered them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. What comfort. But I'm wondering if you are hearing the echoing of another story just two chapters before. And Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. You remember Jesus saying that? Do you know where he said that before? Echoing it right again. He keep teaching us the same thing over and over if we pay attention. The woman at the well. Like, just in case you weren't there, that was a private conversation, but I'm going to tell you again in a different way. Friends, here in chapter 6, Jesus is the bread. Jesus is the divine gift for you and me. A gift that we can touch. A gift that we can feel, a gift that we can smell. How marvelous is that? Jesus is not some manna. Jesus is not some flaky, bready stuff that has gathered every morning and then throw away at night. No, but I wonder if you're getting this. Jesus is reminding us again that he's the same yesterday and today and forever. The bread of life must become fresh every morning, a living and daily presence in our lives. As we go with the struggling with our identity, as our identity knowing that we are made in the image of God, he is constantly, it's something we have. Remember I tell you, you can't stay where you are and follow Jesus. Something has to change. This bread is fresh bread we must pick up every day. God is giving us a new start every day. We call it grace. It's a fresh presence we get every day. Fresh bread, ooh, right off the oven. Whew. Hallelujah, thank you. Beloved, I want you to hear the good news today. Jesus is present. He's available and always viable, always living in our lives. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? You better believe it. So my friends, if bread is a staple of life, the human story can also be said to be a staple story, right? Because bread is the basic commodity so much that when a person makes a living, they call it the breadwinner. The whole civilization and culture have built up on this slight structure of expanding yeast, gluten, and other flour to create portable, packable loaf of health and hope. What bread has transformed our world is transforming our world and will transform our world. Jesus could not have found a better metaphor for his life and sacrifice, because as Rosemary Phillips puts it in her book, Sliced Bread, she says, the loaf packs a loaded story. Jesus took bread to a higher level, my friends. Jesus made bread not just something that sustained life, but transformed it into something that brings new and eternal life. Jesus connected the bread of life to keeping a community binded together. The bread of life was broken within a community in order to bind the faith into a living organism of believers. But here's this thing, my friend. The bread of life isn't just a loaf until you break it, until it is broken. When the loaf is lifted and fractured, it is transformed into something that only divine power could bring about. It doesn't stay that way. You have to break it. When you break it, when we break bread together, Jesus did sit and break bread with his people over and over. Because preaching the word is the way that the church continues to be breaking bread every time we gather. Rightly dividing the word or teaching the word is the way that the church slices the bread and continues to break the bread every time we gather. Healing the hurt in the world is the way that the church continues to break the bread every time we gather. Preaching, teaching, healing, these are moments of hope and love that doesn't occur in the rows or in the pews or in the stationary posts. Bread gets broken. Preaching, teaching, and healing occurs when there's a shared round table. When we gather around a table, you know it's a communal meal, right? Maybe it is not some formal meal with a well-set table. Maybe it's a rectangular table, but we're around a table. Maybe it's some table where we're putting seats together, knees bungling together just to get the space at the table. Or maybe your table is just the living room floor. You're trying to get a plate to find so we can just be together. It doesn't matter. Any place we come together and eat is around a table. And guess what? We live around a table. The table is called the planet Earth. The globe of this world. We are stuck on something that's round and it's always going to bump into each other eventually. We live in a rotating ball and eventually we are going to run into somebody we know. And I can tell you about, remember, I just came from Tennessee and I'm sitting around a table with the people that I was staying with, having meals, many meals. We realized the world isn't that big after all. You see, one of my covenant sisters is moving to a church, and through this conversation around this table, we realize that the lady that I'm living with, parents goes to that church. And before I know it, before we went there, we realized one of the other covenant sisters' parents also went to that church. So guess what? The lady that I lived with, was staying with in Tennessee, and my covenant sister, they all grew up in the same church. And here we are in Tennessee figuring that out. And on top of that, her husband, who I stayed with, never met him before. Till then, I found out that he worked at PwC where I worked. At the same time, I knew the same people. So as the Disney attraction says, it's a small world after all. We live in this world Are we going to buy? There's so many. Does that ever happen to you? You go somewhere and you realize this one knew that one, that one. So weird that you bring them together. It's not that big. We're going to bump into together. So I'm beginning to believe that God made the world round for a reason. A round world means that God's children are eventually going to bump into each other. We're eventually going to end up at the same table. So fold your napkins accordingly. Because when we face each other, sometimes this face-to-face might not look so good. Sometimes when this face-off is a time where we might either engage in one another or we face off. So what kind of company will you be for each other? Let me tell you something. Interestingly, the word company in itself derives from the Latin word come and pain, which means breaking bread together, breadcrumbs. They're the throwaway, Karen's gonna kill me, but they're the throwaway or the leftovers of ingredients from most recipes. These breadcrumbs, my friends, will bind these ingredients together. Try making meatloaf or meatballs or any of those things without breadcrumbs. They can't stay together properly, can they? These small, insignificant-looking breadcrumbs erase the density of protein so that the egg can work and transform a packed protein to a tasteful dish of goodness. Jesus, as bread, is not just a staff. It's not just the staff of life that keep us alive, but the stuff of life that keep us together, both individually and communally. And as Paul puts it in Galatians 1:17, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Even when we are down, my friends, and our last breadcrumb, that is enough to hold us together. That's enough to keep us from falling apart. Says Jesus, who in this week's text defined himself as a new form of bread, made everything different to a world that even of the first century was used to wonder bread. Jesus offers a miraculous sign of new possibilities. Jesus and company breaks a new kind of bread, and that's the best bread. Jesus, some of Jesus' followers thought that the bread that he made that came from Moses was the best bread there was. That's the only bread they had. But the truth is, Jesus came to be the bread for them. This new kind of bread. Jesus fed them the bread of life. And that's the best kind of bread. That's the only bread you and I need. And that's the kind of bread we are receiving this morning. And after receiving it, we leave here fed to go feed the world. For the truth is, we're fed to feed. Amen? And of Jesus, doing one of Jesus' post-resurrection stories was on the road to Emmaus. And Luke writes it this way. As they approached the village they were going, Jesus continued as if they were going further. I always love that part of the scripture because it just tells you that everything about Jesus is an invitation. Luke is telling them he walking as if he was going ahead. That's what Jesus do, and he's always walking next to you. And you have to invite him in. Because as the word continues to say, but they urged him strongly to stay with us as it was early evening and the day was almost over. So he went with them and stayed with them. And then they sat at the table with them. He took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and he gave it to them. So here's the thing. When we read that scripture in this light, If the word company literally means breaking bread together, the word companion literally means the one who brings the bread along with. So now I ask you, will you bump into a stranger or will you bump into a companion? Bring the bread of life along with you. Feed the bread of life to somebody. Because my friends, people desperately need the breadcrumbs so they don't fall apart. This week I urge you to leave a trail of breadcrumbs behind you for somebody to follow. Make it easy for someone to find a seat at the table. Leave some breadcrumbs, my friends. Leave a trail behind you. Can you leave in Jesus? Help them to find their way to Jesus. Because while we are tightly locked Jesus up in our sanctuary, the world is starving just for some breadcrumbs. Amen. If you came late, don't have the Holy Communion, could you just put your hands up if you don't have one of the little cups and somebody will bring it to you as we transition into Holy Communion now. Does everybody have the Holy Communion cups? Because my friends, as we prepare our time to go to the table of the Lord, I want you to hear some words from Genesis and then from Revelation. In the earliest account, we hear these words. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "For every tree in the garden you may freely eat." And then in Revelation, the last book of Revelation, just a few verses up from the very end, we hear these words. The Spirit and the bride says, "Come." Let anyone who hears this say, "Come." Let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life. What we have here, my brothers and sisters, is that the Bible is bookend by this command. The first one, eat freely. And the second is drink freely. And everything in between is a banquet, not a snack, not some smorgasbord where you can choose and pick and choose where you, what you like and don't like. Rather, it's the life course of which we feast on Jesus in the hearts, in our hearts with thanksgiving. The Last Supper begins when Jesus say these words, "Eat." And he went on and said, "Drink." Communion today is open for all people. Because by the grace of God, we are all made worthy to receive this bread of life. This bread of heaven. Jesus. He was very blunt. He said, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread." So my friends, what I'm going to do to you today, let's just pray over these things. And then I'm going to open up this space for maybe this is the time you want to come. This is your table. We can spread out around here, or you can make your seats the altar. Just come and meet this bread of life. This is the time you want to come and tell him and say, "Father, forgive me for how I have sinned. Lord God, I need thee. Father, feed me by your bread. Nourish me by your word again and make me new in you, Lord Jesus." I'm going to give you time again to say, as John said in Revelation, "Come." He said, the Spirit and the bride, The Spirit, the bride, the God, and we are the church. We are Jesus is the bride, or the church is the bride. You come. He said, come, the Spirit and the church. Come, all who are thirsty. And I will give you freely, freely the living water. The same living water that he gave the woman at the well. He said, the water that I give you, you will thirst again. But what you have, you will thirst again. But what I have for you, you will never thirst. This is what this bread and life, this wine, this communal thing we always have. He always feed them and we drink it. This is my body. This is my bread. I give unto you. So let us pray. Pray. Let's pray over these things. For Father God, we just thank you for being our life, being the life in our world, baking this bread new every day so we can have you fresh. I ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit in us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them for us the body and the blood of Christ, the bread of life, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Father, so for by your Spirit, make us one with Christ and one with each other and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in the final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in his holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Because that night, before he goes to the cross for you and I, he took the bread. He gave thanks to his brethren, with his brethren to his Father. And he said, take, eat. This is my body given for you. Then he took the cup and do likewise. So this is the blood given for you. Drink. And as we heard, we drink freely. So we may never thirst again. The invitation is given. The invitation was given for you to come. Come to the table. I meet you, Jesus. If you want me to pray for you, just come put your hands up and I will signal, take it as a signal to be prayed with. But God wants to touch somebody this morning anew. He's inviting you to come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Father, touch your people, Father. May the bread of life be poured upon you this day. Children's prayer this day, dear Lord. Hear your children's prayer, Father. Touch them, Lord God. Hear your children's prayer. Thank you for a breakthrough for you right now.
Give her the breakthrough, dear Lord Jesus. Bring her, she comes to you this morning, dear Father, beauty herself. Bring the breakthrough, dear Lord Jesus. Bring the breakthrough. Oh, hallelujah. Bring the breakthrough, Lord Jesus. Receive it now in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, gracious. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for the invitation and thank you for accepting us this day and feeding us to make us new. Amen.
Let us stand and sing together, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah." It's hymn number 127, if you wish to follow along in the middle. As we ask God to be with us as we leave this place today and as we journey on to fill us with his love.
Brothers and sisters, this life with Jesus Christ is a dinner party. Amen? Now, please go from this place in peace. Go with the peace of Jesus Christ and the love of God. and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.